I'd like to thank everyone for showing up today. Many are traveling and away from us. Michelle and Sean are at the Boy Scout outing, and Michelle is supposed to give a speech being chaplain for the troop, so hopefully that went well. This isn't my regular thing, and I like being back there much more than up here, but I can do this every now and then. A couple of months ago, I had a thought about this topic and what I'm about to talk about, and I kind of dismissed it and figured, well, I'll study it later. Well, with Michelle being gone, I figured it's a good time to be studying it. So, have you ever noticed that sometimes old holidays tend to get ignored? Even many of the new ones have meaning. Memorial Day about fallen soldiers, or about the big sale or the cookout. Soon will be the 4th of July, and we'll be celebrating the founding of our country, or simply have another reason to party. Do these become routine and lack the original meaning? Or do things evolve over time and become something totally different? How about the holidays of old? Do we celebrate the Passover as Easter with any passion or reverence? The Passover was a big deal to the Jewish people. Later, the Universal Church adopted it as the date to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus being spared from certain death. Easter isn't about bunnies, flowers, and dresses. Those came from other traditions, or were added to water it down. The original Passover was bloody and terrible. Our destiny with Christ, or without Christ, is the same. Jesus suffered once and for all that we may have eternal life. Do we really celebrate that gift? Some churches have Holy Communion a few times a year. For some, it's a memorable and special time. Others take communion every week as something to do without even really thinking about it. The Bible isn't commanding one way or the other as to when, but rather the how. We should think seriously about what it represents whenever we partake of it. Often we get in a hurry and forget about what it really represents, the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior. Has this simply become another tradition that's been watered down? Back in the time of Moses, the command was given to celebrate. In Exodus 23, starting in verse 14, celebrate three festivals each year in my honor. Celebrate the festival of the thin bread by eating bread made without yeast, just as I have commanded. Do it at the proper time of the month of Abib, because it is the month when you left Egypt, and make certain that everyone brings proper offerings. Celebrate the harvest festival each spring, when you start harvesting your wheat, and celebrate the festival of shelters in autumn when you pick your fruit. Your men will come to these festivals each year to worship me. Hope you had a good holiday today. Today marks the festival, the harvest festival, or the Feast of Weeks. But what exactly is it? It's 50 days after Passover, often referred to by the Greek word Pentecost. Deuteronomy 16:9. And this is out of the King James, so it's going to be a little more difficult for me to read, but it seemed to have a few words in there that were a little more appropriate. 7 weeks shall you number unto thee, beginning to number the 7 weeks from such time as the beginning to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God, with the tribute of freewill offering of thine land, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according to the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And you shall rejoice before God, Lord thy God, thou, the son, the daughter, the manservant, the maidservant, and the Levite that is in the gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, in the place of the Lord. Thou, God, hast chosen this place. And thou shalt remember thou was a bondservant in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. The celebration was to thank God for the pouring out of his blessings upon the land. Later in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, all of the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a great wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country of the world. When they heard the noise, a large crowd gathered, and they were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people are talking like this, are Galileans? How is it then that we hear them speaking in our native languages?" God once again poured out his blessing in the form of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2:16, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. "This is what you will do in the last days," God says. "I will pour out my Spirit on everyone. Your sons and your daughters will proclaim the message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on these days, and they will proclaim the message." That verse sounds a lot like the celebration of old, where it's for everyone. And continue on down in 32. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we are witnesses to this fact. He has been raised from the right side of God, his Father, and has received him, and has received from him, us, the Holy Spirit that he promised. What you now see and hear is the gift that is poured out on us. And then a little later, Peter said to them, "Each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Today marks the day of Pentecost. God has given his Son to die for us, and the Holy Spirit to lead and comfort us. There are various interpretations and even a lot of controversy on what this involves. My belief is that God gave us the Holy Spirit to help lead our lives. We use these gifts and abilities to further his work. My gifts are a lot more reserved than others, but each of us is differently. I rarely speak in tongues in public. I do so privately. I rarely preach, but since I have to, I am here today. That is not really my calling. I do feel that I have technical abilities and resources for administration and tasks like that. Others give sermons in tongues, and some can interpret. The point is to use what gift you have for the glory of God. Today we celebrate Pentecost. Let's celebrate what God has done for us. And we'll partake of the communion, and we'll have a short video. Let's remember what this is about. It's the broken body of Jesus. And his blood, which has been shed for us. Lord, we thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you've done for us, for sending your Son to die, for sending the Holy Spirit to comfort and work with us, through us, to further your kingdom. We pray that as we work toward the ministry, that we do what's right in your sight and not get distracted by all the other stuff that's out there. And may we be able to do what you want us to do in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. I do have one video I would like to show that seemed appropriate for today.